A reading this morning from Matthew chapter 5 and beginning at verse 33. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, "Do not break your oath, but keep the oaths you have made to the Lord." But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes, and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one.
We'll do turn back in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, and we'll pray together. Father, we thank you for your word is truth. And we pray now that by the power of your Holy Spirit, we may understand it and believe it, and take it to our hearts and be transformed more into the likeness of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. How honest are you? In the early 1900s, George Riddell acquired what was even then a sensational London newspaper, the News of the World. Meeting the journalist Frederick Greenwood one day, Riddell mentioned that he owned a paper, told Greenwood its name, and offered to send him a copy. The next time they met, Riddell asked Greenwood what he thought of the News of the World. "I looked at it, and then I put it in the waste paper basket," said Greenwood. "And then I thought, if I leave it there, the cook may read it, so I burned it." Sadly, the News of the World didn't get better with age. Now, do we have a commitment to honesty? Do we have a heart commitment to honesty? Remember, we're dealing with this Sermon on the Mount, and what Jesus is saying is that it's not enough to be religious. It's not enough to keep outward rules. Our righteousness should exceed that of the Pharisees. Our righteousness should exceed that of the rule keepers, of the merely outwardly religious. This means we must be given a righteousness by God. On our own, the best we can achieve is rule keeping. But when we give Jesus our sin, and he pays for it on the cross, wonderfully, he gives us his righteousness. He gives us perfection as a gift. The Bible calls this being born again. We are by nature spiritually dead sinners, incapable of true righteousness. When we put our trust in Jesus, when we are born again, we are given new spiritual life. We are given righteousness. We're given perfection. And because we've been given these things, now we want to live it out. We want to live out a righteousness that exceeds that of the Pharisees. We will fail every day. Every day we will come back to God and ask him for forgiveness. We will thank him that Jesus has taken our punishment on the cross, and we will receive cleansing. Every day we will fail, and every day we will recommit ourselves to righteousness. Today we commit ourselves to righteousness in the realm of honesty. Here again, Jesus is confronting the dishonesty of the Pharisees. Look at verse 33. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but keep the oaths you have made to the Lord. This is not a direct quote from Old Testament law. Rather, it's a summary of several Old Testament precepts which require people who make vows to keep them. These vows are oaths in which the speaker calls on God to witness his vow and punish him if he breaks it. We used to do this when I was a child. We would say, on God's honour, what I'm saying is true. We'd also say, on my mother's life, or on my honour. The fact that we felt it was necessary to swear on God's honour or on our mother's life indicated that deep down we were liars. Our word was not enough. This is why Jesus pushes his followers to go beyond oath swearing to genuine honesty when our word is simply enough. Moses, who of course wrote the Old Testament law, often emphasized the evil of false swearing. And these references are on your sheets. For example, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Exodus 27. I was at a lunch recently, and I was very surprised to hear a well-known Christian openly blaspheming. Excuse me. This, of course, has become the norm in our society. I can't stand seeing OMG all over the place. Those of us who are Christians know that we feel deeply ashamed when we misuse God's name. And to exploit God's name to cover our lies is not acceptable. Here's another example from Leviticus 19:12. Do not swear falsely by my name, and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. Couldn't be clearer, could it? To invoke God's name to cover up a lie is to incur the wrath of God upon us. Numbers 30, verse 2. When a man makes a vow to the Lord, or takes an oath to bind himself by a pledge, he must not break his word, but must do everything he has said. Invoking God's name demands absolute purity, absolute honesty. Deuteronomy 23, 21. If you make a vow to the Lord your God, do not be slow to pay it, for the Lord your God will certainly demand it of you, and you will be guilty of sin. God will hold us to our word, especially if we include him in the vow. I think all of us now should be quaking in our boots. This morning's sermon is an exercise in the fear of the Lord. He really does listen to us. He really cares what we do with our tongues. He cares about the state of our hearts. I don't know about you, but I'm going to fly to the cross. I need to know that there is a Saviour who died for me. I need to know, in the words of the hymn, that my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. But you can't have the assurance that your sins are forgiven unless you genuinely repent and you genuinely trust in Jesus to be your Saviour. So the Old Testament law prohibits false swearing. It prohibits perjury. Remember Jonathan Aitken? He went to prison for perjury, for giving false testimony under oath in court. And he paid a very heavy price for it. He lost everything. Career, wealth, homes, marriage. But the punishment of God on those who swear falsely in his name will be far worse. Now, what we need to understand here is that the Pharisees had found a way of getting round Old Testament law. Merely religious people always do this. The merely religious are rule keepers. And what they do is they organize the rules so that they can easily be kept. And they expect God to be pleased with this. And Jesus is saying, rule keeping is not enough. God cares about our hearts. The Pharisees shifted people's attention away from the vow itself and the need to keep it to the formula used in making it. They argued that what the law was really prohibiting was not the taking of the Lord's name in vain, but taking the name of the Lord. False swearing meant profanity, using God as a swear word, not the dishonest pledge of one's word. Therefore, they developed elaborate rules for the taking of vows. They listed which formula were permissible, and they added that only those formulae which included God's name were binding. So you could swear on your mother's life, and that didn't matter. You didn't have to keep that oath. Do you remember how Jesus addressed this situation in chapter 23, verse 16? The Pharisees taught you could swear on the temple. It meant nothing. Whereas if you swore on the gold of the temple, you were bound by oath. Or verse 18. If you swore by the altar, it meant nothing. But you were bound if you swore by the gift on the altar. Jesus' point is, you must keep your word. Stop playing games. This is his point in the Sermon on the Mount, verse 34. But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. You cannot make the argument that you only swore by Jerusalem. God is still invoked because he is the king of Jerusalem. I don't know if you've ever seen the TV program Rev. I've only watched it once, but it's about the Reverend Adam Smallbone, who moves from a quiet country church to the East End. And Adam finds it incredibly stressful. He has to balance family life with a number of pressures. In one episode, Adam accidentally prevents a mugging. This brings a great amount of glory on himself. And Adam is tempted just to revel in everyone's admiration. Then he finds himself nominated for a heroism award. When the Bishop of London visits him, Adam ends up confessing that he hasn't been a hero. It was just an accident. The bishop tells him that the most heroic thing to do would be to drop the act and tell the truth. You're going to have to tell the truth, he says, and that's where your courage will really be shown. That's in line with Jesus' teaching, isn't it? Verse 36, and do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Of course, we can dye our hair, but we cannot make it permanently black. or whatever color we choose. We are not God. God alone is the creator who created hair and everything else. In a sense, you're still swearing by God, even if you're swearing by your head. God is the creator of your head. Simply let your yes be yes and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. So the formula used in making vows is a total irrelevance. And in particular, the Pharisee distinction between vows that mention God and those which do not. However hard you try, Jesus says, we cannot avoid some reference to God. The whole world is God's. You cannot eliminate him from any of it. God hears all our vows, all our promises, whether we invoke his name or not. The Pharisees had missed the point of the law. The point of the Old Testament law is that we must keep our word. But Jesus takes us beyond the law, beyond rule keeping. Remember, Jesus is concerned about our hearts. Do not swear at all. Simply let your yes be yes and your no, no. And what the Apostle James says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything more than this, says Jesus, comes from the evil one. It's Satan, the father of lies, who wants you to swear on your honor or on your children's life. Because Satan wants us to stick to rule keeping. Satan doesn't mind if we're merely religious. What Satan is concerned about is if our hearts belong to God, if our hearts love God, if our hearts please God. This is what Satan hates, but it's what Jesus wants. The question might arise in some minds, when we read these verses, is if swearing is forbidden, why has God himself used oaths in Scripture? For example, I think it's on your sheet, Genesis 22, 16 and 17. God is speaking to Abraham. I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that you have done this and not withheld your son, your only son. Remember that Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son for God. I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and so on. God cannot have sworn in order to make his word more true. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie. I think the reason why God uses an oath is to make it easier for Abraham to believe. It's an act of kindness to Abraham. We are unbelieving people. God is helping us to believe. The other question which has often troubled me is, should we swear on oath in court? The Anabaptists, who were the forerunners of the modern Baptists in the 16th century, would not swear at all, either in court or before a commissioner of oaths. The other Christian group which famously would not swear on oath is the Quakers. Would I take an oath? Yes. Why? Well, in Matthew 26:63, Jesus is in court. He's on trial. And the priest says to him, I charge you, under oath, by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. Verse 64, yes, it is as you say, Jesus replied. God is willing to accommodate himself to us by taking an oath formula. Jesus was willing to answer on oath. We mustn't make another rule like the Pharisees. I rather fear that if religious people refuse to swear on oath, it becomes another badge. Excuse me. It becomes another badge of honor, another brownie point, another reason for confidence in our self-righteousness. This isn't what Jesus wants. What Jesus wants is a change in our hearts so that we love him and we love truth. So let me ask you, has Jesus changed your heart? Are you an outward rule keeper? Are you merely religious? Or do you know God? Do you know that Jesus is your Savior and your King? Do you know that you've given your sin to Jesus and he's paid for it on the cross and he's given you his righteousness, his cleanness, his perfection? You have a righteousness which exceeds rule keeping. And therefore, you want to live for Christ. You love him. You want to please him. You want to please him in the realm of honesty. I expect you've heard of Annie Lennox, OBE. She's the Scottish singer-songwriter. She's also a political activist and philanthropist. She was one half of Eurythmics, a band which was very popular when I was in school. Lennox's charity work includes Amnesty International, Greenpeace, and Shelter. In 2010, she was named a UN Goodwill Ambassador for AIDS and appointed OBE for services to Oxfam. In an interview with Third Way magazine, she spoke about her music, campaigning, and personal life. She discusses the emotional openness of her 2003 album, Bear, and what it reveals about the contradictions in human nature. You know, we just wanted to be all good or all fabulous. And it's as if we're afraid of the fact that we're full of contradictions all the time. We don't want to be. We want to be solid and it all to be kind of explicable. And the fact is that it's not. That's human nature. That's very honest. The rule keeper is trying to present himself as all good. I've kept all the rules. Annie Lennox can see that she's full of contradictions. It's better to admit that than to be a hypocrite. But better still, come to Christ. Come in honesty. Come in sorrow over your sin. Come for forgiveness. Come for a fresh start. Be made new. Be transformed. We won't change overnight. We're still going to struggle with dishonesty. But we will change. Day by day, year by year, we will be changed by God more into the likeness of Jesus. And one day, we shall stand before Jesus. The Bible says we shall see him and be like him. No more dishonesty. No more double speak. No more pretending. No more fear. Just perfect acceptance by the God who made us and the God who loved us. Let's pray. Father, we need your forgiveness. We need your cleansing in the realm of honesty, as in every other realm. Father, we do want to please you. We do want to be like the Lord Jesus. And we're truly sorry for all our dishonesty. We pray that you will cleanse us and take us beyond mere rule-keeping. Help us to be people of genuine integrity who please you in all that we say and do. In Jesus' name, amen.